Good day, all. This is Michelle Masurgeon for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, and my guest today is Harvey Rosenthal, Chief Executive Officer of the New York State Association of Psychiatric Rehabilitation Services. Welcome, Mr. Rosenthal.
Thank you, Michelle. Nice to be here.
I understand the New York State Office for Persons with Developmental Disabilities, or OPWDD, has initiated cuts to the housing subsidy for disabled persons starting October 2nd. How are disabled persons going to make up this shortfall in their rent payment, and how is this going to impact families who have to support their disabled family members?
Sure. I'm more involved with mental health, so I deal more with the Office of Mental Health, although the circumstances are the same. In the Office of Mental Health, they fund a lot. I think we fund about 40,000 beds, we call them, in New York. Many of them are apartments with rent stipends and staff that come visit people. And yes, those stipends are the ones that come from state monies that are in jeopardy because of the gap. So, you know, there is a threat all across the board, not only to rent stipends, but you name it, schools, fire departments, mental health treatment, mental health, you know, recovery, addiction recovery services, anything that's funded with state dollars. So we're all on the hook right now, waiting to see how things play out in Washington and in all. And we're not waiting. I just want to correct that. We are working really hard, advocating, lobbying, doing interviews like this, working together, you know, with the executive branch and the legislative branch. So this is the biggest threat we've had. I've been an advocate now for 25 years, and I've worked in the field for 40, and I've really never seen threats of this size and magnitude at the worst time, during a time when our services are most needed. So for
the short term, if you're a mental health person and you have a case manager, or you're a disabled person, how are these cuts going to impact the operations of these programs?
Well, I actually think in some cases, even though the cuts haven't been, lasting cuts have not been levied, we'll know about that a bit later. But right now we have these things called withholds, which are not actually implemented cuts there, but they're the threat of cuts. They're the kind of cut that says we're going to hold money back, but we'll give it back to you if the federal government reimburses us. But the federal government's at a standstill. So people are sitting there with this impending 20% cut. Some agencies have gone ahead and already cut staff. They've let staff go. They've cut back on services. And I assume the caseloads have gone up, but it'll get much worse. Right now, people are anticipating, they're taking some action, but we haven't been hit with an actual cut. If Washington doesn't deliver the money in the COVID relief package that's the subject of all this, of conflict down there, then the governor could very well turn these withholds into cuts of 20% or more. And that's when we'd really have to go to the legislature and look for support for raising revenues.
So some of the recommendations in raising revenue to offset these pending budget cuts to the most vulnerable would be imposing greater taxes on New York's wealthy residents. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's definitely got to be on the table. There's some very serious money there. I think one of the revenues you could raise from appropriating money from the stock transfer tax is $13 billion, which is the gap. So there's a lot of ways we can approach it, but certainly tax hikes are the simplest. And I think it was yesterday New Jersey raised their taxes on the wealthy. So where New York is wise to look over the river there and consider the same.
Does New York have a constitutional obligation to adequately provide for New Yorkers with disabilities?
We do here in New York, and I think we've seen the evidence of that. A couple of months ago, there were Medicaid cuts and to hospitals and nursing homes, but not to mental health programs, you know, for that reason. But I think that protection won't hold up and fight off this kind of financial pressure. They will be able. I think the governor will be able to do something here. There's a debate about how much and how much his authority is, and whether his authority is higher than the legislature, because that's the debate that happened this week. The state teachers union sued the governor on this grounds that he didn't have the constitutional authority, and he backed off imposing cuts in education. So we're encouraged that he'll do the same with us And that will give us some time, Michelle, to see what happens in Washington. We're told, the election is coming. I doubt that Congress wants to run having cut all these services because they held on to the money in Washington. They didn't supply money to the states and localities. So we're hopefully expecting some sort of a break in the stalemate as the election becomes closer. And so we would hope at that point that we would see the money that would come to New York and that would offset these kinds of cuts.
And if these cuts don't come, because I've noticed that almost every year there's some cut to mental health and disability services. Like, this is really nothing new.
Right.
So with every year there being cuts, are these organizations down to their bare bones?
I think they are, but not because so much of the cuts. It's that there have been no increases for so long that the price of doing business and, of operating funds and the price index and things like that. I think we've been faced with cuts, but generally, we work with the legislature and many of them are restored. But the real threat here is the fact that we haven't gotten any increases in like 10 years. So what business is able to operate with, without an increase for a 10-year period? That's the real threat. That's why we're already, you're right, we're on the edge already. For all these years of a lack of revenue, and a cut is unthinkable. And it's really going to cause such devastation. You see everywhere all the trauma and depression and anxiety and suicidal thinking because of the virus. If we get a second wave, it'll just be even worse. These services need to be in place. The governor has referenced that numerous times, the importance of them. So, we're hoping. He's supposed to give an announcement next week on mental health. We're hoping we'll hear something good.
And what would you like him to say?
In the perfect world, I would like him to say that mental health, as you said earlier, in any environment should be exempt from cuts because of the times we're in. And if anything, we should invest, make smart investments. So that's with the ideal. If you ask me what I'd like to see him say is mental health is so important that if I'm going to cut somewhere, I'm not going to cut there.
So what do you think, families of these who have children or a family member with a disability and their housing is going to be cut? Are they going to end up being kicked out of their group home, or what happens to them?
I think there is the threat of that. It's not so much the group homes are not much as threat, I don't think, as the stipends for the apartments. The state, between your Social Security disability and a rent stipend, you can afford what often is a high rent. So if you take away the state stipend, then it's not enough to pay the rent. So the families would either have to pay it, I suppose, or worse could happen. I think the crisis in housing is probably the most dramatic impact of the cuts would be that people would lose their homes. And I think that plays very hard with the governor. He did put money in the budget for housing this year. Again, we're counting on him to do the right thing. We're counting on Washington to do the right thing. And then we're counting on him to do the right thing and protect mental health. And not only mental health, but addiction recovery services as well.
I understand they're being impacted at a time when, all these services are at their most highest need, especially harm reduction type services.
There are numerous epidemics. We talk about the COVID, but there's an addiction and a suicide epidemic and an overdose epidemic as well. And so, it's a terrible sort of combination, and we got to stave off the suicides and the overdoses by funding mental health services.
Before we wrap up, do you have anything else you would like to share with our listeners on these issues of the most vulnerable of New Yorkers being impacted?
I would switch a little bit to the terrible crisis that's been caused by the policing that has caused the deaths of so many people, including Daniel Prude up in Rochester. There's a lot of discussion around reinventing the police, not defunding, I think, but transferring the funds to something more appropriate. And so this idea of sending out our proposal right now is that a mental health counselor or peer counselor, someone like myself who's got a mental illness in recovery, a mental health peer counselor with a trained EMT is who ought to go out first, not a police officer. So we're really pushing on that and hoping that in localities are pushing for it, and the state should push for it. We cannot, the police, you know, we've trained the police for decades on mental health. It's just not enough, and it's not working. We've got to send someone else out who's more appropriate.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Rosenthal, for your time today, and stay safe.
Thank you. You too, Michelle.
Okay, and this is Michelle Masurjian for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.